Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm really excited by today's guest. A young guy that's come through at Brighton, but he's got loads of experience in the social media world. Does loads of stuff behind the scenes. He's currently at Worthing. Please welcome Toby Ball. How you doing, mate?
Very rare I'd do
it. We would love to do it.
I'd love to do it, but I'd probably get my head ripped off by the goalie coach. He used to whack me in goal in the garden.
The famous older brother syndrome, yeah.
Mate, hammered balls at me. And weirdly, I liked it when the physios are speaking to me. Yep. Sort of like, because I could have tried to even get through the end of the season, when I did it, but like it would have been a tough battle. Came home and just like, mum, like floods of tears. They can get rid of you whenever. So you could be signed there, like, all right, see you later. And I started posting every day, and then I had lots of people like comment on it, like, oh, this is like really good. And then it sort of just started to grow and grow and grow.
Did you go for it a lot?
It was pretty much like brand new each content session, mainly. All right, mate, do you fancy wearing some like Lynx gloves? And he was like, what, like the spray? And I was like, for God's sake.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Today, I'm really excited by today's guest, a young guy that's come through at Brighton, but he's got loads of experience in the social media world, does loads of stuff behind the scenes, currently playing in the National League South, actually. Is it National League South? Yeah. I got that right. Bang on. He's currently at Worthing. Please welcome Toby Ball. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, all good, mate. Thanks. Good to be here.
Thank you for coming in. We've been speaking for a while now because obviously you do content online and I've been following you for a while and that. We may as well get straight into the content side. How did you get into the content? You're still only 20 years old, yeah. So you're very new to the game, yeah. Football-wise and obviously content.
Yeah, so I work with a glove brand, Lynx, as we were talking about, and they were sponsoring me whilst I was at Brighton. As soon as I came at Brighton, I just wanted to sort of get back into training. They do lots of like social media stuff like training days. Jumped in with that, loved it, started to sort of post on my page a little bit, got a bit of a roll going, and yeah, it's fun. I do it weekly now, so yeah, really enjoy it. It's sort of how I got into it. I'm 20, what 20-year-old isn't on social media, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah, because you've done a lot of educational stuff and that, obviously educating yourself, but you've obviously, I reckon you're probably more known on social media for your Sidewinder.
Yeah.
we were just talking about this off air, the fake Sidewinder that is amazing for shorts and reels, but it's not practical in a game.
No, I think you see some people who probably come and watch me play. They're like, I want to see the Sidewinder. I'm like, look, guys, I ain't just going to Sidewind it to a fullback. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very rare I'd do
it. We would love to do it.
I'd love to do it, but I'd probably get my head ripped off by the goalie coach. Yeah. It's one of them. Like, I love doing it. And I will use it in a game, but probably bigger distances, not maybe the shorter ones where it looks so good on social media.
I always say this, that the Sidewinder is great for a through ball or for counter-attacking. But when you're just doing it to a fullback or out to your winger, managers and goalie coaches are like, they hate it.
Oh, they can't stand it. I said to you when I was younger and I used to do it, goalie coach would be like, what on earth are you doing? Just throw it. Because I suppose it is quicker, but it doesn't look nowhere near as nice. You know what I mean? Do a Sidewinder, people in the crowd are like, yeah, give me some of that.
Right, before we get started then, I've got a couple of quick fire questions. Yeah. Catch or parry?
Catch.
But for content?
Parry.
tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Coffee, nice. Play short or kick it long?
Play short.
Or sidewind it.
Yes, sidewind it short.
Who's your favourite ever goalkeeper?
Iker Casillas.
Yes, nice. Great choice. What a great choice that is. Who's the best in the world right now?
Courtois. Even though he's injured, but I think before he was, unbelievable.
Right, your movie or box set?
Movie.
Right, and I always ask this one. It's the last minute of a game.
Yeah.
You can either save a penalty that means you win the game, or you can go up and score a goal.
Score a goal.
Yeah. It has to be. We all dream about it.
Yeah, like, we all save penalties. Yeah. we don't all score goals.
Like, obviously, to do it in the last minute, it's your job. It's like, it would be amazing, but...
Score a goal, do you know what I mean? Like, if you get given that option, score a goal.
Next week's guest, Tom King's got the world record.
Goal kick?
Yeah.
Mate, that's nuts, that. Yeah. What, 100 and something?
It's 96.1 metres. It's mad, that's got to be some gust as well.
Some strike, though. Seen the technique on it?
Yeah, it's a long kick, that. Right, how did you get into goalkeeping, so?
Wow, so...
And why?
Yeah, so I'm going to shout out my brother here. He used to whack me in goal in the garden.
The famous older brother syndrome,
mate, hammered balls at me. And weirdly, I liked it. Yeah. I don't know what I mean. Like, who enjoys that? I enjoyed it. And then, this is a bit of a story for you. So when I was, it was Worthing Town, my Sunday league club. I was playing outfield. I did enjoy outfield. And our goalkeeper went on trial at Brighton. So I had to fill in for 6 weeks and I loved it. Following season, team split in two, both like same division. I went in goal next season, really enjoyed it. About a month in of being a goalkeeper, I then get a trial at Brighton and then end up getting in.
No way.
Yeah, and then that goalkeeper who was on trial at Brighton ended up signing for Arsenal. And then he came back and signed for Brighton under 16s, I think it was. So we've had some pathway together, both starting from Sunday League Club. Both making it, yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
that.
It was crazy.
What age was that?
10.
10s, yeah. So
I was 10, he was 11. Yeah.
And how old are your older brother?
He's 5 years older.
Right, okay. So that's why he bullied you.
Yeah, literally went getting goal.
Yeah. Had no choice. Did he play football?
Yeah. He's not as good as me, though.
Yeah, fair enough. That's all right. You can say that. So obviously just getting the bug then, was that just like back garden and park football?
I think it's just...
Like the attention almost. Because goalkeeping is kind of like that. We're an individual, aren't we?
Yeah, we're different. Everyone knows we're different. I just enjoyed like throwing myself around. Like I played lots of sport as a kid. Like cricket, I was a wicketkeeper. I always wanted to be involved. And I felt like the same with goalkeeping. Yeah. I know it's slightly different now when you get older, you're not necessarily as involved. But when you're younger, goalkeeper tends to be involved all the time. So end to end. So
you touch the ball more than most players on the pitch.
Oh, yeah. Especially younger age, especially.
Yes. Yeah, so as you're coming through, it's that sort of stuff that like you enjoy that buzz and that excitement of like, also goalkeepers at 10 years old aren't expected to save every shot. So when you have a good game and like you've got all the other players and all the parents going, oh, well played today. Left back wouldn't get that feeling.
No, that's true. You always stand out, I think, because everyone's sort of, everyone goes like, wow, they do something. You even see it I might make a save on social media. And for me, it might feel a little bit more like comfortable, but someone goes, oh, it's like unbelievable. Yeah. But maybe to us, it feels a bit different.
No, 100%.
But I just loved it. I love throwing myself around and always, different. Yeah, I'm just different, so... Yeah. Yeah.
But we are, and that's why. Like, I think every goalkeeper at some point has tried to play outfield, and it's just not the same. Like, it's total different energy that you get from playing a goal, and you end up liking getting hurt. Like, you would have done it with. I had an older brother that did the same kick balls at me, and as soon as you took one to the face, and you just jumped up, and your brother looked at you, he was like, "Not hurt," and you're like, "No, all right, next shot." Yeah, you love that feeling of oh, everyone expects you to be down and out and yeah. you just get back up again.
Yeah, I think like even the pressure, I love, it's weird, but I love the pressure. Yeah. So I think being a goalkeeper, I think most pressured bit on the pitch. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Talk to me then about getting scouted for Brighton again then. So yeah. just playing Sunday League football, mm-hmm. obviously from where you're from, you would have had obviously the Brighton scouts. There's not yeah. really a lot of other teams that would scout that far south, is there?
Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Southampton's probably a bit out of the way to be honest where my
Palace
area
would
was.
Still be looking in London, really. But
yeah, Palace are more London based. So yeah, the only real clubs are Brighton, Crawley maybe, but I don't know if they had much of an academy, and Portsmouth. So they're really the only ones that yeah. are around our area. But yeah, it was just Sunday League. I was just playing a lot. And I think I was just, because I was very natural with my feet, like I'm a very like ball playing goalkeeper, yeah. even when I was younger, because
yeah.
I was an outfield player. I think Brighton saw that and that's the way they wanted to go. You see sort of how they play now. That was a vision 10 years ago. So yeah, I think they saw that and were like, yeah, we can maybe work with him here and sort of change the system. And it was quite funny when I went into Brighton, they started something called a goalkeeper like outfield day. So every goalkeeper had to do one session a week outfield
to
improve their feet. And that's sort of happened when I came in and sort of, yeah, it sort of helped the club with sort of the goalkeepers they were looking to bring in.
But if that's the identity that they want from a goalkeeper, that's obviously the best way of doing it. I remember years ago, like I used to just I'd go to outfield sessions, not take my gloves, because you just get typecast and chucked in goal. So like, if Brighton were doing that with their goalkeepers, it's amazing to hear. And obviously the way that goalkeepers developing now, we have to all be good with our feet.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't just lump it. I mean, but even there's a skill in just lumping it. You still have to have a good touch. You have to have a good strike. You still have to be comfortable on the ball.
Yep. So you're then coming through at Brighton, obviously the academy there, the structure is really good now, isn't it? Obviously the club has changed a lot over the last 10, 20 years. Oh, is it really a good club to be at?
Yeah, it is, to be fair. Like I'll give him credit. It is a good club to be at. Yep. And like I felt I grew with the club, obviously. When I first joined, there wasn't a training ground. And then the training ground was built. And then it was built on even more. And then when we became more established in the Premier League, like the facilities now, it's like unbelievable.
Yep.
Like we get big clubs that would come to us and play and they'd be like, wow, your facilities are like unbelievable.
Yep.
So I think that's a good feeling for the club. And it shows they're going in the right direction. It is a good club to be at.
Also, like having those facilities, it makes you want to turn up more, train more and learn more. It's a victim of its society, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it breeds you to want to do better. Yeah. How tough is it when you're part of an academy from that young age? Because obviously I did it 20 years ago, so it's a long time. How have things changed now?
Yeah, well, so we spoke before, didn't we? There's like a... So we don't have to like clean the boots and stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So it's different in that aspect.
Responsibilities are gone a little bit.
Yeah. I'd say there's probably a bit more emphasis on the education side, especially like maybe as a scholar. Education is very important. Even as like an under 15, 16, education is very important. It's one of them, mate. It's different, but yeah, it is an unbelievable thing. Being in an academy, being one of the only boys like in your school that is at an academy is a nice feeling, but obviously there's that added pressure. But no, it is, being at academy is brilliant and you do learn, but again, there is that pressure.
Yeah, and the pressures at 16 when you're getting offered like your YTS or like your academy papers, that's probably the most stressful time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say maybe...
To go full-time football.
Yeah, 10, 11, 12, it's still like very much enjoyment-based and stuff. But when you do get older and it does become like, oh, actually this may... still become my pathway. Look, I'm 20 and I technically still wouldn't say I've made it. Yes, I've been a pro at a club, but I haven't had a career.
Yep.
So even like being 20 and a pro, you still haven't made it. And it's that same as when you're maybe 16, you're not as well educated or not as mature. You think, oh, 16, that's it, I'm going to be a pro footballer.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it is them days are stressful, especially like coming in to get your scholar and things like that. Scholar, I think scholar's a big one, especially because you see your other mates and it's
when things start to get serious a lot more. Obviously there's more edge to the games and that, and you have your own little mini leagues. I can't really remember before that having the leagues or mattered where you finish, but as soon as you went into full-time football, you was like, right, this is serious now. We're in every day. This has actually turned into a job that you can still enjoy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
but
yeah.
You realise the difference straight away because you're like, I'm here Monday to Friday. And then on Saturday, it's like, biggest game of the week, yeah. like it's biggest game of the season, yeah. but it's felt like that every week.
It's competitive. Yeah. I think once it gets to 18, it's competitive.
Yeah.
Whereas 16s, most of it's friendlies. You do get your odd like Premier League cups and floodlit cups, I think they're yeah. called. But once it's 18, it is competitive every single week. And it's hard. You struggle to adapt to it, I think, a little yeah. bit, going into competitive football every week. And it's not necessarily equal game time. It's, right, you've got to earn your right to play now. And it is that big jump.
Yep. Did you constantly feel like you was trying to earn the right to play? Because obviously you're ultimately looking to turn yeah. pro. Yeah. And as soon as you turn pro, your next step is, right, can I start training with the first team or can I start breaking in? Mm. Like, they're such big steps along a career. But yeah. at 16, 17, 18, they're hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's extremely hard. Especially, I found it really hard because this is like the football system. So I was 15, but I was too old to be an under 16. Yeah, I was an under 18. Because of my birthday, I fought end of August.
Yep.
And the season starts being the beginning of August.
Yep.
So I'm 15. I'm 15 years old as an under 18, but I'm too old to be an under 16. I'm like, how does that work? So yep. for me, I was the youngest like in the group as a scholar. I didn't play one under 18s game in my first year. And like for some people, like, oh, it's not ideal. But because I spoke with the club and because even when I was younger, I always played down an age group because I wasn't the biggest.
Yes.
It just meant I got to play, which was perfect for me. And even when I was like 15, I was still like that scrawny little boy. I was
waiting to develop.
But at 15, I was thinking, yeah. oh, why am I not playing 18s? But yeah. I look back at it now, I was nowhere near ready to yeah. play. Even at 16, I wasn't ready to play yeah. in the under 18s, Premier League, whatever it's called. I was nowhere near ready, but you don't see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're that age, it's like you do really have to earn the right to play.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a chance just by injuries or a bit of luck, or maybe it's a friendly, but yeah, you do have to earn the right to play.
Yeah, and see, obviously, as you're coming through at those age groups and mm. you're playing youth team games, what's your thoughts? Are you constantly thinking, I'm trying to jump to the first team?
Mm.
Or are you thinking, I need to go out on loan first and then obviously then prove myself away from the club?
I think, like, when I was that age, I just wanted to play football. I think that was just my mentality. I didn't really see it as like, I'm going to play 18s, play 21s, go first team, we'll go out on loan. I think for me, it was just try and play as much football. And yeah. when I was a second year scholar, that's when I started to play a lot of football. And then the following season, I got sent out on loan and done well. But I'd say I never really had like my own sort of vision and how that would look. I think I trusted the club.
Yep.
Because
obviously they're advising
do.
You yeah. and they're getting you loan spells.
They got loan managers. They got people yeah. that are experienced in that. I think it would be difficult to me to go, actually, no, I want to do this, I want to do that. Or like you have agents who say, got to do this. I think I just trusted the club to help
me. Or goalie coaches and
stuff. Goalie coaches, I trusted them and they found me a good loan. It went really well.
Yeah.
So I sort of.
Yeah, because obviously you had quite a lot of loans. I've got Worthing, which you're obviously back at, but you've had Merstrom as well.
Yeah, that was my main loan. That's where I grew a lot as a person you speak to anyone at Merstrom. The Toby that came in at the start of the season, very different to the Toby that got called back in Feb.
Yeah.
Was very different. I loved it.
What made you realise that you'd changed? Just a competitive edge to
it? I think more the confidence in like the men's football. Like I'm a confident person as it is, but going into men's football, when you see like, I played like under 18s, going straight into men's football.
Yeah.
A lot of the boys at under 18s still are quite like underdeveloped, straight into men's football. And they go, whoa, happy days. We've got some like small keeper here, 17 years old, right, corners, stick it on him. And I was like, right, I've just got to get used to it. Because I was skinnier than what I am now. I was small. Yep. It doesn't help. They had a blooming extra large kit. So I looked even smaller. I just had to learn quickly.
Yep.
Made a fair few mistakes to begin with and then grew and grew and grew. It helped that we were a side bottom half of the league. So we were always, not getting battered, but we're probably underdogs going into most games. Like we went to a team that had very little budget.
Yep.
So like most teams I come up against, probably better squads than us. So I got a lot put on me, which is brilliant.
More,
going out and loan,
means
I mean?
More exposure, more touches at a ball and stuff like that.
No point me just standing there.
No, 100%. If you go to a team that's winning the league comfortably, you're not really learning anything. It's a lovely experience, but you're not going to learn the rough side of football.
No, not at that age. It would be nice now to go to.
Yeah, of course it would. Yeah.
but when you're learning, I don't think it matters. And especially, loan's difficult as well, isn't it? Because it is your club and it feels like your club.
Yep.
But at the same time, you are there to learn.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was one of them. I loved it.
How hard is it when you go back from a loan to then go, right, no, I'm actually back here to reestablish myself and yeah. prove myself again? Because goalkeeping's constantly about proving yourself.
Yeah. I think it was like, so I got called back and I was annoyed. Like, I was like, what are you calling me back for? I was like, loving it. But so my experience getting called back was pretty wild, to be fair. So like one Saturday, like he said, he's called me back and I was a bit fuming. I was like, what are you calling me back for? He sort of explained, like, are you coming back to sort of compete to play 21s football? And I went, okay, brilliant. But then obviously, like, I go and watch him the following week and obviously like, I get a phone call like during the game. I'm like, oh, Toby, you need to come in tomorrow. And I was like, oh, it's my day off tomorrow. But then he was like, oh, no, you were like with the first team. I was saying like during like the COVID time. Yep. So it was all like over their side. And I like, trained with them and then obviously...
Was that your first session with the first
team? No, so I trained with them quite regularly before then. But I'd never got like changed their side and ate their side.
Yep.
And then traveled with them up to Man United away with the first team, which was like best experience like ever. It was unbelievable. And then I go and get injured like, straight after it. Like, I end up having a knock like 2 weeks after that.
What did you do?
Shoulder, slapped her.
It's typical, isn't it?
And then just I had that or had that operated on.
Yes.
First session back, goes again. Different operation, mate. It killed me. But it's football, isn't it? Like, you know, I went from being like the highest like high I've ever had in football. Do you know what I mean? Like I played like 30 plus men's games.
Yep.
Traveled with the first team to all of a sudden I've ended up like getting injured and then couldn't like find my way back in and like it goes on and on. But yeah, it just shows the football so quick.
Yeah, there's so many ups and downs. It is a proper roller coaster. So that's amazing, obviously, that you travel to Man United.
Yeah.
Like what an experience. So on the coaching that you're just a nervous kid.
Well, we flew up.
Oh yeah.
So luckily it was the same day, so I didn't have to do my initiation song. Like that was, yeah, I was sort of dreading. I wasn't dreading it, but like I was like, oh no, I'm gonna
you
have
didn't
to
even
sing.
Have to make teas on the
couch. No, I think that's the six. So we flew up the same day, and that was really. I obviously flew back, which was like, again made the whole experience like even better. It was, yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, surreal. Yeah, oh, fair play. Obviously, like you're saying, so then trying to rehab and come back from a shoulder injury, and it goes again.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Are you just thinking, I'm not getting a break, or are you thinking, right, just it's got to be head down, crack on, I've just got to get myself fit, do my rehab properly?
I mean,
you go
I think
for a mix, didn't you?
First few weeks, I really struggled. I did really struggle, especially because of where I was at before, like I say, like with the first team and stuff. And I felt like I would have played a bit with the 21s to all of a sudden I didn't play for the rest of that season. And then the plan was for me to come back the start of next, the following season. And the fact it goes again, I was like, like, this is killing me. I was in the last year of my contract.
Yeah,
I was like, I was panicking the first few weeks. I was like, this is tough. And then I sort of, I focused. And then even when I tried to come back from this, it still weren't 100%. So then I took some more time out and I struggled to get it right. I did towards the end of the season. By then, pretty much season had gone. I only played like 3 games.
Yeah.
But it is difficult going for injury. You know, like going for injury is tough. First few weeks, I think everyone's on that little bit down phase. And then you start grafting, grinding, getting it done. But I think for me, I put in all that effort and it still didn't feel
still
right.
Not right, yeah.
And that's what I found tough. It's just the fact it didn't feel right. I go out to train, I'm like, this is like sore. Yeah. You know, as a goalkeeper, doing that sore is tough.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get far with that.
Nah, and it's different. I saw something like Petr Cech. Have you seen the stuff he comes out? He's saying like playing with broken shoulders. And lucky he came in and spoke to us because our goalie coach was close with him.
Yeah.
And like he done a talk with all of us, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I was playing through like broken shoulders. And people just looked at me and like, why are you doing that, mate? And I'm thinking, right, this is slightly different here.
So
he's a pro, he's like having a career, playing Champions League football. If I was doing that, I'd play through. But for me, I was 19, I had shoulders that like
still
even
developing,
even
like,
doing
you,
that was just
your
sore.
Your bones are still strengthening you. You're still developing muscle.
Yeah.
Where he's a fully fledged man.
Yeah.
It's also like no injuries are ever the same.
No.
So like someone could have a grade 2 hamstring tear and someone else could have a grade 2 hamstring tear, but they could be, one could be out for 4 weeks and one could be out for 12. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? There is no
comparison. It's different ages
They're
as
so
well.
Different, yeah.
It's different. Like if you're a...
Your rates of recovery are different.
Yeah. If you're a 19-year-old, maybe with like a stress fracture, or if you're a 31-year-old, probably 31-year-olds probably just going to get a load of injections to get him through it.
That's it, yeah.
It's too much risk with an 18-year-old because if that goes wrong or if that damages him, that could be
his whole career.
Exactly. And that's where...
A 31-year-old has only got a few more years left to just make do.
And that's why, like, when the physios are speaking to me, it's sort of like... Because I could have tried to even get through the end of the season when I did it, but like it would have been a tough battle. But they were like, look, don't even bother, because mine was like a type 2 slap tear, which needed operating on, but it could have gone into like a type 3 where it's completely gone.
Right.
So there's no point risking it, especially at that age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then you go, I want to touch on getting released, obviously, mm-hmm. of football clubs. So obviously at the end of the season, then you've been freed from Brighton.
Yeah.
That's an emotional time for anyone.
Yeah.
And it's a tough time. What like, it's so hard because you're phoning your agent, you're phoning your mum and dad.
Yeah,
and you're, like, obviously, all the conversations that you're having, it don't fulfill the need to still be playing football. Yeah. And you're waiting for your phone to ring constantly, mm-hmm. aren't you?
Yeah, I think it was, for me, like, I think I knew it was coming. I used to speak to my parents. I think we all knew it was coming. But it's just the fact it wasn't necessarily the fact I wasn't like, the playing side. It's more the fact I wasn't going to be at Brighton. Like, I was spent more time there than I probably did anywhere else from like
half
10
life,
up. Like,
it?
That's what it was. Half, yeah, literally half my life. So for me, I found that really tough. The fact like I couldn't just, I don't know, they say you can always walk in and it feels normal, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So I found that really tough. The fact I just wasn't going to be there anymore. Like, it's just like, honest and open for myself. Like, came home and just like, mum, like, floods of tears, because it wasn't necessarily the fact of you've been released. It was just more the fact of like, I ain't, I'm not there anymore, and that's sort of where I grew up. It's you know, like when you leave school, some people obviously buzzing, but inside it feels weird because you're not.
What's next? You don't know.
Exactly.
The unknown. And
So for me, it was very tough, that sort of side, especially because of how long I was there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a difficult experience, and you are waiting for that phone to ring. And it's hard at the end of the season because everyone goes on holiday. So you're like, what's going on?
And like they all say, just be patient, something will happen. And you're like, it's been 6 weeks now, I've been patient, like, what's happening?
And I was quite like naive to that. So I was sort of saying to people, like, be patient. So I was saying to my parents, be patient, because I'd never been like released before, which is probably quite rare for someone that was in an academy for 10 years. Most people who I'd known have been, or at least not necessarily released, but been at other clubs.
Yeah.
Whereas like that was my only club. So I was quite naive to it. I probably would have been a bit more pushy if I would have known, but I've learned from it now.
In that summer, then, are you just keeping fit, hoping the phone rings?
Are you
training yourself?
I mean, I went on hike. I sort of took a bit of time away from football, like a month, just to sort of give myself a break from it, because I was sort of struggling with the whole football injury and stuff. So I went on a couple of holidays and just sort of enjoyed my time for a month. I was keeping fit, like the holidays. I went on like a couple of sports holidays, which were good fun. But for me, it was sort of like, I'm going to sort of take my focus away from football. Obviously, if anything like comes up, I'll still like speaking to my agent and stuff. But in terms of actually playing football,
switch off a bit.
I switched off and didn't play. And that was perfect for me. Like even when I was at Brighton, pre-season, coaches went like this. I didn't touch a ball.
Yeah.
Off-season. Did not touch a ball.
You don't have to as a goalie.
Don't need to.
Because when you come back as a goalie, first week they make you do fitness anyway. But you
do they?
Yeah.
Oh, no, for us, it's just like a load of catching.
But then as soon as you get your eyes and your hands back in, there's nothing you can do at home that recreates that anyway, like volleying and diving around. You can't physically dive around on your own in the off season anyway. So it's more about letting your body recover and especially someone at your age at that time, letting it develop, letting it have that time, 4, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it takes to recover again. And also it's more about like seasons are so long. 10 months is a long time to be delved into football. You need to take that time off of it and like mentally refocus yourself and just switch off a bit.
Yeah, I think that's really important, which a lot of players like don't do. Like, I had loads of boys like messaging me in the off season, like, come play. And I'm sort of like, for me, it's we've done this whole season of playing football. Like, I think you just need to give yourself a little bit of a break. And I'd always come back in pre-season, be really sharp.
Yep.
Just because you just give that body a bit of rest.
That's it, yeah.
I think it might be slightly different for goalkeepers to an outfield player. I don't think it's...
Oh, it would be,
You don't sort of lose that, the touch and the feel in your eyes. As soon as your eyes come back, that's it.
Eyes and hands, riding a bike, mate.
Yeah.
Right, what's your goalie knowledge like?
Goalie noise.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Right, so I've got a quiz for you, right? So goalie or no goalie.
Yeah.
I've got 5 current goalkeepers playing in the National League.
I think you'll be
all right at this. And then I've also got 5 YouTubers that have played in goal. So I've done them for you specifically.
Okay.
And I feel like you should be all right at this.
Okay.
Okay, so you answer goalie for the goalies that are playing in the National League and no goalie for the ones that are YouTubers, okay?
Yeah.
1 point for each correct answer.
Okay, happy days.
Right, ready?
Yep.
Right, Colin and D.
Goalie.
Four. Yeah, do you know who four?
No.
I don't need to know who four. He's a goalkeeper at Southend. Colin and Dang and D. Yeah. Goalie as well.
Oh, I have seen him. Yes. Yeah. He's played, mate, worldies, by the way, this season.
He's been really good.
Yeah, really good.
Right. That's a good start. Right. Yeah. Callum Whitworth.
No goalie.
No goalie, says. He's correct. He's better known as Cal the Dragon.
Okay. That's last name. Yeah. I didn't know that. I just know him as Cal the Dragon.
I didn't expect you to. Yeah. Callum Whitworth. Cal the Dragon. Makes some unbelievable garden save. We'll leave it there. Number three, Jack McDermott.
No goalie.
He is not a goalie. Pie Face.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm terrible with names like that. Oh, yeah. I only know him as Pie Face, Cal the Dragon. Everyone does.
You actually know their names.
Yeah.
Right, John Jancewicz.
Goalie.
He is not a goalie.
He sounds like a goalie, though, doesn't
he? Big John. He's big friend of the pod. He's been on the pod as well.
He's going to kill me for that, won't he?
Big John.
Sorry, I'm sorry, John. I just know him as Big John.
I probably butchered his Polish name.
I'm sorry.
Right, number five, Christian Dibble.
Goalie.
He is a goalie. He's my mate as well. Plays for Kidderminster.
Yeah, happy days.
Big Dibs, mate. What a guy. One of the nicest guys in football, honestly. Right, number six, Harrison Mayle.
Yeah. Goalie. Yeah. Mate, I was with him this morning.
Oh, was you?
Yeah, we're good mates. Yeah, we're really good mates.
Yeah, currently playing at Dorking.
Yeah, some goalie, by the way, as well.
Yeah, good goalie,
top. Yeah. Top he is. Yeah, he's top.
Where do you think, at what level do you think he'll get to?
Pro easy, as in he'll go beyond National League. It's just similar to me, like we're not the biggest, and like some old-fashioned coaches, not necessarily like the small goalkeeper, but he is top. He is unbelievable. He'll go pro easy.
Oh, excellent! All right, number seven, Morgan Birtwistle.
No goalie.
He is not a goalie. Angry Ginger's not a goalie. Yeah. Well, he is a goalie apparently, but good shout. You're doing well here. Six out of seven. That is right. Number eight, Ethan Ross.
Non-goalie.
He is a goalkeeper. He's an Altrincham goalie.
Altrincham.
He is massive as well, Ethan. Actually, no. He's massive.
I thought you were doing the thing with I know Craig Ross.
Oh,
and
right,
I thought you were just like changing the name. I was like, oh, no.
Right, number nine, Felix Lengau.
No goalie.
He is not a goalie. He's a Canadian streamer. XQC. No, he's done a lot of the charity games.
Oh, okay.
He played in the last charity game.
Oh, nice.
Right, and then number 10, Rory Watson.
Goalie.
He is a goalie, he's another one of my mates. Yeah. Ross plays at York now.
Yeah.
Good to see him back in the team.
He's doing well. Because my Adam Hinchwood, my old manager when I loaned to Worthing, he's gone there. So it's nice to see him sort of doing well.
Ross was at Wrexham last year with us. He's some boy.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, he's some boy off the pitch, mate. He's so funny. Cracks me up, mate. Right, I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, now. Obviously, since leaving Brighton, you've bounced around clubs. It was probably the best way of putting it.
Yep, that's a great way of putting it.
Can you explain to me, obviously, what it's like when you're out of contract and non-league?
Yeah.
Because, obviously, the contract situation, like you're saying about being a pro or non-pro, it's not as concrete, is it? It's you can get freed at any time and they don't have to pay you when they don't want to, pretty much.
Yeah.
Can you explain this?
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, like, coming out, my vision wasn't necessarily to go non-league. It was to stay, like, pro. And I went on trial at a few places. So I went on trial at like one club. And this is when I sort of knew, this was the first club I went to, and I knew it was going to be really tough for me. So I went on trial at this club and I played a game and I had a worldie. I'm not just saying this, but I made like four worldie saves. I was solid, distribution was brilliant throughout. I went, right, they're at least going to ask me to come back for a week. I speak to my agent. Oh yeah, sorry, Toby done really well, but we just don't think he's like physically for us. And I was like,
couldn't have done anymore.
I was like, why did you, I wasn't annoyed by that. I was just like, why would you bring me in? Because you know, like, they know how big I am. They sort of knew my height.
Yep.
They knew about me, yet they still sort of bring me in. So no matter whether I'd done well or not, they probably were just going to know anyway. So I found that tough. And I went and tried a few different places and somewhere like, oh yeah, we'll offer you. And then all of a sudden you sort of don't hear back in 2 weeks. That's typical football.
Yeah.
So when I sort of knew, I got to like September time, I was like, look, again, I just really want to play football. So I signed for a club called Carl Shorten. Played some, you know, sort of
right, time, I'm Croydon from that area,
So signed there, and they were like brilliant with me, to be fair. So when I signed there, unfortunately, like second game in, I ruptured my ankle ligament, and I was like, "You've got to be joking!" Like, could have had an operation on it, but luckily I didn't need one. Something called like an avulsion tear, And they were good with me because they still paid me for about 6 weeks worth, which was like their sort of rule, which was
that's
handy
amazing.
Because otherwise they could have literally just paid me 1 week and gone, sorry, Toby, you're injured, can't pay you.
Yeah.
And like coming out of like pro football, see, that was like my only income. I think fortunately I was sort of, I'd like to think I was wise with my money, so I had a fair bit like saved up. So I wasn't panicking for money, but I was thinking, right, I'm going to be out for like 3 months here. Couldn't do the content. So that was sort of a bit annoying.
Yes.
Couldn't play. So I was like, what am I going to do here? Sort of get myself back in, try to sort of start playing again, sign at a few different places.
I've got them written down if you can't remember.
I've been at quite a few clubs.
Averley,
Burgess Hill.
And Wilstone.
Cole Shorten, Wilstone, Worthing, Eastbourne Town. That was the one at the like, beginning of the season. That was a few games.
Yeah.
Quite a few. And for me, like, that was tough because it's more so the Averley one, I didn't actually like, I wasn't signing there to play like long term. Their goalkeeper was unavailable. Their manager got in contact and stuff like that. And so that was just to play a game. But I was like, yes, because I just wanted to play and play. Like, we played Dagenham and Redbridge in a cup game, 1-2-0, played really well. But of course, I wasn't going to go in and play for the rest of the season because their goalkeeper was already there and playing. Yeah. So then, like, going to like Burgess Hill. And then sign at Willstone and then to go to Worthing, like you are jumping ship a little bit. And for me, it's quite difficult because you go somewhere like, right, again, I have to prove myself again, or you go in and, for example, my first game for Worthing, I knew some of the boys anyway, so it wasn't the end of the world, but I hadn't trained with them yet. So I signed on a Friday and my next game's a Saturday. Even Burgess Hill, I hardly trained with Burgess Hill. I played a few games there. Again, I enjoyed it there. But for me, that's not like the level I wanted to play. And it is difficult coming out because, one, the club can just get rid of you. And two, it's, like you say, you are like jumping ship a lot.
Yep.
It would have wasn't necessarily my plan, but I had to. I didn't have a choice.
That's what it's like, though, non-league. And obviously, it's really good for the listeners to hear this. It's like that there's no security.
You're never settled.
No.
You're never settled. And if you're on a contract in non-league, you can be a bit more settled. Yep. But I wasn't. I was on these things called non-contracts, which you'll know about.
Yep.
So obviously any club could then come and approach me as long as they put something like a 7-day offer in, which then allows like 7 days to pass and then they can speak to me and then I'm allowed to sign. But also at the same time, they can get rid of you whenever. So you could be signed there, like, all right, see you later. And you're like, and especially for boys that financially it might be or that's like their only sort of income,
more reliant on that,
they might not be living at home, they might be having to pay for like the house or whatever,
or rent and anything,
exactly, and if the club just goes, sorry, you know, what have you do? Because you can't just write. For me, it was lucky as a goalkeeper, you can sort of jump ship and sort of sign somewhere, and I sort of had that caliber in a way, coming from a pro club, it's probably easier for me to then sign somewhere.
Yeah.
But for someone who's just jumping around non-league, it's tough. If they just get rid of you, or if a manager gets sacked and then that manager then brings in some players and doesn't fancy you, that's it, you're gone.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, where do I go? And especially down south, there's not, like, I signed for Willstone. For me to get to training, it's 2 hours plus because I'm going past Heathrow. So down south, I found really difficult because there's not many non-league clubs.
Yeah.
There's more, I think that hopefully there'll be more coming up. Hopefully Burgess Hill go up, Horsham. Obviously Worthing and stuff, but there's not many down that way, so it does just make it that bit harder. And if you want to sign somewhere, I'm traveling 2 and a bit hours just to get to training.
Yeah, and that's only, you're only training Tuesday and Thursday night, playing on the Saturday.
Exactly. And with these clubs, it's like the money's okay, but it's not incredible. And a lot of the time, like especially with Willstone, a lot of it was just sort of covering expenses. Like, I think the petrol me going up and down, like food and stuff. Yeah. A lot of it is just covering expenses, but you do that just to play and just to sort of get a chance and get a sniff.
Yeah, 100%.
So you do it for that, really.
Yeah, so it's like all of that's what I mean. Like the opportunities you have to create for yourself almost. And a lot of it is more hardship. There's a lot more lows than there is highs, especially in the non-league.
Yeah.
And with the contract situation, it's hard to stay motivated. But someone of your age is so important that you register game time, because the more games that you more clubs above will start looking at you going, no, he's actually a settled goalkeeper and found a bit of form, and like, let's have a look at him.
Yeah, I try and build like a reputation.
Yes.
And it's building that reputation. And if I play, so I've built up a little bit of a reputation of being like just jumping from clubs, and I don't want that reputation. I want a manager to be like, look, Toby, reliable goalkeeper who I know can play for the whole season. Yeah. I think that's the other thing for me, is, and I need to have a season where I play throughout, or even just get through like a whole season, and like I did when I was on loan.
Yeah.
So I want to build up that reputation, but at the same time, I still built up a reputation that I can go into places and still perform, even though I might not know anyone, or it might be my first session or first game. So that reputation is good, but I want that sort of different one where a manager looks at me and goes, right, that's my goalie for the season. That's what you want as a goalkeeper. No, course, that is what you want.
But you're in that catch 22 at the moment where everyone goes, we want a goalkeeper of experience. And then like, but at the start of a season, they'll play like a younger goalkeeper. And then they'll go, as soon as things go wrong or something, it'll be like, right, we want an experienced one. And then the experienced one will come in, take someone else's place. And then a new manager will come in and go, no, I want this goalkeeper. Yeah. You're like, How do you stay consistent if clubs aren't consistent with you, isn't it?
I think it is difficult. Like, manager picks a team at the end of the day. If a manager comes in and goes, look, I want a tall goalkeeper that's going to come out and claim loads and loads of crosses. I'm not saying I'm not going to claim crosses, but I'm not the biggest of frame, so I'm not going to have that much presence necessarily compared to a 6'5" goalkeeper. But what I can do is different what you can do. So this was so good when I was at Mersham. I had two centre halves that were like good, two like ball winning centre halves.
Yep.
And then I was the one sort of playing out. I wouldn't necessarily play to him, but I could bounce it back for him. And then I'd sort of ping it into fullback, so I'd ping it into the striker and we'd play off the striker. So for me, like, it's also finding the club where it suits me best. Like, am I probably going to go really well at a team that's quite small and probably not so much? I probably need a bit of protection. Like my friend Harrison were talking about, I think he has that bit of protection from his defenders at the moment at Dorking. He's similar size to me. Like, he does come out and claim crosses as well, but he's going to be very different to a 6'5" goalkeeper. But what Harrison does, he's an unbelievable shot stopper, unbelievable at his feet. So if you can build your team sort of, I'm saying build your team around
to
the goal.
Yeah,
exactly.
To your
and then it works well.
Sense though. But like, you look at even like some of the best in the world, like we mentioned Iker Casillas earlier on. He was one of the best 6-yard box goalkeepers ever.
Yeah.
Shay Given. Like, they do come for crosses, but they just defend. They defend their.
They know their limits. Like, I used to watch a lot of Kasper Schmeichel.
Yes,
he I think hardly ever came for crosses. But how many times he concede from crosses? Hardly any.
Hardly any. Yeah,
because he'd drop on his line, and because his reactions were so good.
Speed across the goal. Hugo Lloris is one of my favourite examples. Like, Hugo Lloris across his line is one of the fastest things you'll ever see. And like, but he didn't really dominate his own box.
No.
Never came for crosses.
Again, I don't think he needed to, because the centre-backs he had playing with him 100% won a lot of that.
Yeah.
So again, it's where you might best fit.
Yeah. Right. Obviously, along your journey, still only 20 years old. Okay, you're so young. You've done a master's degree in where? In Miami.
Well, it's I get the certificate is from the University of Miami. I wish I went out there.
Yeah. So obviously... you've done your business management, a degree in business management. Yeah. What was the aim for doing them?
So I think when I came out of being a scholar, I sort of took like a bit of time out of the education. I sort of, it's going to sound like, if any of my teachers are watching this, they're going to be like, he's lying. But when I came out, like I enjoy learning and sort of improving myself. I do enjoy it. So I went to like the PFA and went, look, like, I even went to Brighton and they were like, I'll speak to someone at PFA. And I was like, I really want to like do a bit of learning, but I didn't know what to do. So PFA got me in touch with this guy called Diego, and he runs, so it's SBI it's called. So he runs that company, and they open up some like free spaces for footballers, because most people that jump on the course are like business people or IT and all that stuff that have no experience in football and want to get into football. So it's good to have a mixture
it's
of
a good crossover.
But it's harder, I think, to get footballers on it. So he opens up a few like free spaces for us to like jump on.
Yep.
And I think he really liked the fact I was 19 when I did it. I think I was the youngest person to do it. And he loved the fact I was really young, really enthusiastic about it. And I had a different approach to maybe, I think Wes Morgan's done it, and he was doing it at the end of his career, whereas I was sort of doing it at the start.
Yep.
So he really liked the fact of that, and I managed to jump on board, and it was incredible. It's tough. I found it really tough, but I loved it.
Yeah. Obviously, I want to talk a little bit about, you've done a bit of work with EA as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
How do these opportunities start coming about? Is it just from your social media presence?
No. So that is from a program called the Premier League Futures Program. So Brighton put me forward for that when I'd done my master's degree.
Yeah.
So only certain amount of people get added onto that program, and because it's clearly obvious that I want to learn, I want to improve, I got put forward to it and I was accepted. So this year I've been going away doing like, so I've been to EA, going to Nike, been to Google, Kitman Labs. I'm missing one. A few other places, like big businesses that work alongside the Premier League.
Yep.
And we get to go in and sort of learn from them, have like these really, like with EA, it was unbelievable. They sort of showed us how they create games and sort of how they might maybe do their bits of marketing or how there's different roles. And yeah, these experiences, mate, are like phenomenal. And I'm so lucky to be on it. Like I am so lucky to be on it.
I agree. It's like it's an unbelievable opportunity. You're not lucky because you've actually taken the time to put yourself through courses and show willing to learn. So then you should be able to reap some of the rewards from that, especially at such a young age when it's you're still striving to turn to get a pro contract and you still want to play every week, but you've actually taken time to educate yourself, which is amazing. So then it's really good from Brighton as well to then put you forward for these sort of things, and there's opportunities that are getting created for you.
Oh, definitely. And I think it's when I done the master's degree, I didn't really I did it more so just to learn. Like I did have some coaches sort of get, oh, is Toby doing this because he doesn't see football's career anymore? And I spoke to my parents about this and I was like, that's not the image I want to be putting across. So I did say to him, I was like, look, like, because I'll be on like the coach going to away games, we'll be on there for 6 hours. And I was doing like my studies, or I'll be in the change room, I'm doing my studies because it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
And like the coach would be like, oh, what are you doing this for? And I was like, so I'm going on a coach like 6 hours. You can't just expect me to just like sit there. Of course, I'm going to sort of fill my time and sort of improve. But I think I definitely know one of the coaches sort of questioned me on it. It's like, oh, what are you doing that sort of because you don't see football as a career anymore. I went, no, no, like my main focus, I say it's like my main focus is to play football. And that's still my main focus. But I don't see why I couldn't do that as well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's crazier that some coaches will see it as a distraction.
Yeah, exactly.
Not, you're actually educating yourself and you're actually making yourself a better person from it. And you obviously, it's credit to you for persevering with it, because it's a lot easier to just go not doing it anymore than if he thinks that I'm just going to, I'll go and do an extra gym session or I'll go back out and train.
Yeah.
But you have to develop yourself.
Yeah, I think I was lucky that most of the lessons we did were evening. So I'd train and then most of the classes we did, it was all online, was in the evening. And then any assignments I'd do, it would be in like my spare time. But as soon as it sort of came to near game day, I would sort of switch my focus. But again, I was injured. So I was like, for me, it was, right, how can I do something? And I enjoyed it as well. I did enjoy that. I really enjoyed doing the assignments. We had to do loads of presentations. We got to speak to some phenomenal people, by the way. It was like, I'm injured. Why don't I do this as well?
No, it's brilliant that. I want to talk more about the content style right? So can you talk us through how you got involved in content, first of all? Obviously, you've mentioned it briefly, but like fully explain why and how.
Yeah, I feel like I say, so I just wanted to sort of do the training with Lynx.
So Lynx is obviously a glove brand. Yeah. I'll put them on the table so you can see.
So I wanted to do this stuff with Lynx, and I got more and more involved. And obviously when Dex sort of moved away from the brand, moved to One Glove, it was like, wasn't necessarily an opportunity for me to sort of step in and
fill the void.
Yeah, but it's like there was more opportunities for me to do more content. It sort of became every week. I really enjoyed doing it. I more just loved the sessions. And then I started asking Ben, who's the owner of it, for like the videos. And I was like, oh, I might as well post it on my channel. I wasn't thinking anything was coming from it. Like, I was just like, oh, I might as well post it. It'll be really good. And then, it sort of just started to grow. Ben sort of helped me with that a lot. I did build up like a good chunk of videos, about like 30 or so. And then I started like posting every other day.
Yep.
And then when I'd done it more and more often, I started posting every day. Okay. And then I had lots of people like comment on it, like, oh, this is like really good. Yep. And then it sort of just started to grow and grow and grow. And I do have a little bit of a vision of how I might like want it to look, but also at the same time, it'd have to then work around like my football, because that is always like the priority. Yep. I just got into it because I've really enjoyed it. More just enjoyed the sessions. And then, like I say, when I posted it and other people enjoyed it, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to post it. And I get lots of people now come up and like sort of speak to me about it. Like my local gym, people are like, oh yeah, I saw your video the other day. I really enjoyed it. And it sort of makes me feel like quite good that these people are watching it and they do enjoy it. And I'm not just posting it for the sake of it.
So you're a goalkeeping content session anyway, right? So how long are you filming for?
About 2 and a bit hours.
That's normally what we plan for.
Yeah, physically
on
tough.
On an AstroTurf or a 4G, whatever.
And I'd say it's harder than like
An actual training session.
Some days are, yeah. Some days are, because like a lot of it's repetitive because you are trying to get that, the one like big set, or you're trying to get that thing. And that's hard to do. Like the amount of goals that go in these sort of sessions, like obviously people don't see it because we're not going to post it. Like who wants to, like we're doing goalkeeper content.
You want to see the highlights.
Sometimes you might show a goal, but I ain't going to show the goals all the time. People want to see the saves.
Yeah.
So it is, yeah, it is quite like repetitive. And like I said to you, a lot of it is like the serving.
Yeah, it is.
Can be quite repetitive. Yeah. But the sessions are class. Like it's good. We have a good group of boys as well that come along with links. And yeah, it is really enjoyable.
So what do you notice from that 2.5 hour session? Mm. Obviously the content that you put out is more short form.
Yeah.
In reels and shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you looking for to clip up? Are you actually like going, right, today's session, we're going to do distribution drills and we're going to clip up our five best kicks or sidewinders? Or
I think we sort of just like go just do a session and then we'll take which bit. Obviously, so Ben tends to plan a lot of bits, I plan some bits, and it's like we'll do this drill and we sort of we warm up, we do like one drill that's like a handy drill, then we just go straight into it. Like we do get warm. Like I'm not just going to go out and injure myself, but touch wood. We sort of just go out and do these different drills. It's not, I wouldn't say like today we're going to like focus on distribution or today we'll do this. It's just like we'll do these drills. A lot of it is just shot stopping because that's what most people want to see.
Is that what works better?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Like the shot stopping does work. I'm like when I do like my sidewinders, a lot of people tend to like that.
Yep.
So I'll try and always do, not always, but like at the end of the session, I might just go, look, in like 10 minutes, can one of you boys just go out there and I'm just going to do like 10 sidewinders and I'll just take a few.
Yeah.
It's good fun. I do really enjoy it. It is good fun.
Well, that's the thing. If you're enjoying it and you're being able to make it a job and make content from it, like why not?
Exactly.
It's some pathway to go down. Yeah. Right. Let's speak a little bit about the gloves as well. Then. Yep. So you currently are sponsored by Lynx.
Yeah.
Pronounce the name properly.
Lynx goalkeeping.
We get this question loads. Oh, I like them gloves. What are they? And you're always like, it's Lynx, but it's got a one at the start.
It's well, the one's supposed to be a Y.
Yeah.
And it's like, so when I saw Jack Butland? I saw him like recently, and I saw him out in Manchester when I was doing the event with like Kitman Labs, and I was sort of like maybe in my comments and said, "Oh, all right, mate, do you fancy wearing some like Lynx gloves?" And he was like, "What, like the spray?" And I was like, for God's sake, that's how people know it. But no, it's a top brand. Like, I love the gloves. To be fair, they're one of my favorite. So they're the, he's going to kill me now. They're the Visions. Okay. I had to get that in mind. We got some, there's some more coming out. But there's a good range, like Unleashed, Icon. I wore the Icon originally. They're like the strapless ones.
Yep.
Impacts are good. We're going to have some like kids. They're going to bring some kids gloves out that look really good. But no, they are. It's a very good glove.
What do you look for in a glove?
I like them tight fitting, but like ones that don't move a lot.
Yep.
I think if you like snug gloves, obviously some people like an old like traditional like roll finger maybe. But I'd say these are quite like modern based. So you get a nice like snug fit in. I like to have a good feel of the ball. Like I've never really worn like a roll finger. I like a hybrid cut or like a flat palm. Just feels a bit tighter on my hand.
More interaction with the ball.
Yeah, like I just feel a little bit like I can shake my hands a bit more. I just love them really.
Yeah. Has he ever custom built anything for you, Ben?
Color wise, so I love like I wear a lot like pink, so I like to be a bit flary, especially for like the content.
Yeah,
so I've got some like special like pink gloves. But in terms of like how to design a glove, like I might give him like a few ideas. But Ben's quite top to be fair, in terms of like the designs and stuff. I sort of spoke to him about maybe like make this cut or maybe have like a different like wrist entry. But he's quite top to be fair with how he sort of designs stuff and like with the colours as well. Some of them are quite rascal.
Yeah, exactly.
Which are nice.
But like you're saying, for content, you want the ones.
Content's
boots,
brilliant.
Boots and gloves that stand out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I always say on here, it's like look the part, play the part.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Especially for the content side, if you've got bright coloured boots and gloves on, you look quicker, you look a bit more agile, you look a bit sharper across your goal, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Like in a game, I'll probably just wear like a white pair. I just like a white pair in a game. But to be fair, I used to be quite fussy with what I wear in a game. Whereas now, obviously, like the amount of gloves I go through is ridiculous.
Do you go through a lot?
It was pretty much like brand new each content session, mainly. So I go through, so I have to wear like, Ben might go, oh, look, Toby, we need you to wear the Impacts today. So I could probably now just put on any glove, like any Lynx glove, and go, okay, I can go and play a game.
Yep.
Whereas before, like, I'd have to wear that exact glove.
Would you?
Yeah.
Have you got any other rituals that you would do with a glove? Do you have to, even before you film content or games, do you have to, have you got certain things? Obviously, they come with a plastic coating on them.
Yeah.
So peeling that off, but do you do anything to your gloves?
No, I'm...
Just straight
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I used to, I used to put like left hand on first and stuff like that, and I'd always have like a fresh pair.
Yeah.
Whereas now, because I'm so used to literally like, Ben will give me like gloves like this, which will all have the plastic on. I'll just take them off straight into a session. Yeah. I know I shouldn't do that. I know I should like wash them a bit, but when you're filming it for content, like I'll have like my match gloves. So like when I'm playing a game, they'll be at home. They won't get used for content.
Yep.
I'll treat them properly.
But they're not allowed to be used for content because it's not clean enough.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So it's like for the content, it's literally pretty much like brand new gloves all the time. Yep. So it's, yeah, I'm just going out with, mate, I left plastic on the other day when I was filming content. Like 10, 15 minutes into the session, I was thinking, I looked at my palm, I think, you're joking.
No way.
To take one of the plastic bits off, yeah.
Wow.
One hand.
I bet that's mad, that, trying to train with that on it.
I was like, why not catching it? And I sort of looked. I went, hold on a minute. I haven't taken the plastic off.
Have you got any hacks for taking this off? Because this stuff does
mean
mental.
Yeah, I do, to be fair. So you just like...
Let's do it.
So like I... see these little bit. I know some gloves are really stiff. Like there's a little peel.
Yeah.
But say it's really stuck on, I'll just get a bit of my nail. You sort of scratch it a little bit. Don't take any of the latex off. It then starts to like peel up. And then that sort of comes up. A little bit starts to come up.
Right,
so
okay.
I get a little like bit of my nail. I'll scratch until I sort of see it start to like, not necessarily open. And then I'll like just peel it off.
Right, because you can actually spend hours doing
stuff. Oh, loads of time.
I've got like bad OCD and I won't have any of it on it.
Any of it, okay.
So I'll sit there like for an hour, literally peeling every corner of it off.
Yeah.
There must be a better way.
I think they need to make some like dissolvable thing, like you stick them in water and it like dissolves.
There is someone said this to me that you can actually put them in warm water.
And it does.
And it does loosen it. It like lifts it because it will find like an air gap underneath.
Yeah.
And it will just raise it up. Yeah, and obviously water will fill up underneath it like a balloon and then you just put it straight off.
Yeah, no, I think for me the hack I've just used is just scratch it with my finger. And even if like a tiny bit of latex comes on, it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? For me, it's not because I know that these gloves probably aren't going to get used again. I'm just going to hand them off to someone else.
Yeah.
So,
how many gloves are you going through then? When you say you're going through a lot of gloves,
You should see my boot in the car and like my garage. It is a bit silly, but yeah, quite a lot.
Because obviously you're playing and training anyway.
Yeah.
And then obviously the contents, like you're saying, you need. Will you change gloves during content as well?
No, normally I'll just wear just the one glove. So say like the I wore the Visions this morning. I just wore them throughout the morning.
I wondered if you, obviously watching like your stuff, and I've watched a lot of other YouTube goalkeepers stuff, if they have a change of outfit for that day, because most of the time you use the same pitch anyway, won't you?
Yeah. I mean, if it's like, a long day, maybe. But just like the 2 hour sessions, I'll just wear them just for that sort of session.
Yeah, just for continuity.
Yeah.
But last, you could make it look like it was a whole other day, really.
Oh, you could do, especially the way the weather changes in this country, mate.
Yeah.
1 minute it's sunny, next minute it's chucking it down. So,
What's next for you then?
So, that's a brilliant question. I think obviously this season's coming a bit, like it's coming towards the end for me. It's it's reaching its conclusion. I still have really big ambitions to play at the highest level possible. I still believe in my ability to go pro at good level, for whether that be in this country or abroad. I think like abroad appeals me a little bit because it suits me quite well. But at the same time, I do want to play in this country because I want to not necessarily like prove people wrong, but I think it's now where I've had a few people maybe like doubt me, or I speak to people now, they're like, oh, what are you going to do now? And it's sort of like they haven't like given up on me, but they sort of just, oh, okay, that's it, he's not going to play football anymore.
Yeah.
But for me, like, that's not the case. Like, I've seen people's journeys and how you can, like, I've probably reached quite a low stage now, but I can see myself definitely going back up, and I just need to get there. And what route I take, do I try and sign at a club and I might not necessarily play straight away, maybe going like number two, number three? Or do I just go, look, I'm going to play non-league, play as many games and try and prove myself. And which one's easy, you don't know.
No,
which one's harder, you don't know.
Nobody knows. Though.
No.
That's the thing. But there is no right or wrong way. It's just, that's your journey.
Yeah.
You look at someone like Conor O'Keefe that was like gone out to Sweden a few times, obviously done a lot of content, and he's probably used his content to help him get moves. Because obviously the higher the profile that you have, it's more attractive for some clubs.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I think, so like the vision with maybe like the content side, I still see myself growing that. Like I'd love to do more like, actually like GoPro and the goals, but like more like vlogs, like maybe go down like a YouTube sort of route. Cause I think people like the inside, like when Ben Foster done it, he likes that inside sort of bit. So maybe do more stuff like that. But I think for me, like, I think I need to get the football. That's got to be the first focus, get that sort of sorted and sort of what I'm doing there. And then like the content will follow. And if I have to take a bit of a, not like a break from the content, but if it's maybe not necessarily every day, that's fine by me, because football's still like that priority. It might get to the stage where I go, actually this content's flying and I might see a different route, but for me right now it's still playing,
fully focused on playing. You're still so young, you've still got so much more to give to the game.
I spoke to Clinton Morrison a few weeks ago. He was at IMG Studios, so Premier League production was another trip he went to. I spoke to him there and I was sort of explaining like my journey and where I'm at now, and he was like, look, you can't, not saying I was like going to give up. It's like, look, you can't stop. I know you've hit a bit of a rut, but you can't stop because football's brilliant. And things like that. It's, I know I can't stop with the football because I know I've already come quite a long way with it. There's no point in me just going, oh, I'm just going to sack it off for content.
Yeah.
Even though the content's brilliant, I was like, look, I want to do both.
Still do both.
But the football's still the number one.
Yeah. Obviously, there's loads of space in the realm anyway for as much content as you can provide almost. There's still, obviously, the scope around the world for goalkeeping is growing and growing, isn't it?
Massively. Matt, like, you don't know where like the content can take you. Like you say, it might appeal to some clubs, even if that's abroad. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's lots of opportunities now. Even outside of Europe, you think there's lots of opportunities now. So if one of my posts gets me a move, I'm like, happy days.
Of course,
I'm not saying it's like loads of people are like, oh, why are you doing the content? Is it going to help you get a move? I went, no, really, see, scouts probably aren't going to be scrolling through Instagram and going, right, because they're signing him, they'll go watch games. So,
A scout's child might be, but.
Yeah exactly. Go, Dad, look at this.
Well, fingers crossed, mate. Right, I always finish on this question, but what does the goalkeepers' union mean to you? Oof.
Banter.
Yeah, nice.
Quality banter.
Good start.
Quality banter. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, we all understand each other. The outfield players don't get some of the outfield players try and join in and we might like let them in with a bit of banter, but they'll never get it, mate. No. The banter's top.
Yeah, decent. Right, Toby, thank you for coming on, mate.
It's been brilliant, mate. Thank you.
It's been lovely to hear, obviously, your journey and your story. Really do wish you all the best going forward with football and content, mate. Still loads to do, mate.
Oh,
loads of stuff planned.
Massive
shout out to our sponsors. Thank you for being part of the podcast. This has been the Yours My Way podcast with me, Mark Howard. Hit the subscribe button. Cheers, guys. Bye.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.